You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you on this wonderful Saturday afternoon. We greet you to our program again that we've called for many years, Raising the Standard. So we hope you'll be blessed with what you hear. Hope you can stay tuned in for our whole hour on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart that we have for 21 years, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so we're honored to be here with you and to be a part of WCNO Radio. So as we open up, as we always do, we want to greet you as we have. And there's probably some people out there right now, Pastor Don, that's never listened to the program before. So we greet you, maybe the first time. We have people call every once in a while. Sometimes, about every week, somebody calls, "Well, I never listened to that program before." Well, praise the Lord. You got to listen to it that one time. I hope you were blessed with what you heard. So we're here to raise the standard of the body of Christ. We want that done. And we do a lot with the Jewish roots and the Hebraism and to understand what God put in place. And you that are listening, that are believers, you know, we've been really robbed of our Jewish roots, haven't we, Pastor Donna?
We have,
we've been totally robbed of our Jewish roots. And that's why we're in the dark in so many areas. And we try to relate it with where we're at today with life. And you can with a lot of things, but there's a lot of things that we need to know. Like, you know, if we were living back in, say, Abraham Lincoln's days, well, the mannerisms, the customs, and the ethnic things that people did back in those days and all that were different than they are today. So we need to understand what God put in place with the Jewish people. You know, they had customs, they had mannerisms that they did, the way they spoke and all that. And so if we don't understand that, sometimes we'll miss things that God's put in the Word of God that we might, that we should know, but He wants us to understand it and be able to understand what God's saying at a particular time. And so when Jesus spoke in the Gospels, when He said certain things at certain times of the year, the Jews knew immediately, didn't they, Pastor, now, what he was talking about, the season they were in, all right?
Amen.
And so, like we hear talk about this all the time, you won't know the date or the hour. Well, when God talks about that in the Bible, what's He referring to? What? They're looking for a new moon. That's the first thing they thought about. When you won't know the date or the hour. They had a 48-hour period to determine the new moon. That's how they determined each month. And so they didn't know what the date or the hour. It could be 1 hour and one of those 2 days. And so that's what we have to understand. So the Jews knew immediately what He was talking about. Amen?
That's right. That's
Hallelujah.
Right. Hallelujah.
Now think about the Feast of Tabernacles over there in John chapter 7. When He told them that there's going to be a river flow out of them. You know, it's not Amen. A well, it's going to be a river flow out. Well, that was done on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, why would that be done at that time? Why would Jesus do that? Why did Yeshua do that? Because all the rabbis and the teachers back in those days, before the Feast of Tabernacles, had to look up all the scriptures about what? About water. Because water was what? A metaphor of the Holy Spirit. So they had to look all that up. And so He said certain things at certain times of the year, and they knew what He was talking about. How about John chapter 10 over there when He honored what? Hanukkah. He said it was what? It was in the wintertime. And it was what was called the Feast of Dedication over there. Well, what is the Feast of
the word Hanukkah means dedication. So he knew exactly certain times of the year what he said. So we need to know those things. And if we don't, we're going to miss out and we're going to be robbed of something that God wants us to know, because all this was put in place to teach us about the Messiah. Amen, Pastor Don?
That's right.
So I'm kind of getting wound up already. But Don's got a couple of announcements we'll make here, and then we'll do a little teaching today again. We started last week about Pentecost, and we'll do a little bit more here today with all of you that's listening today. Amen.
I want to say hello to all you out there that are listening to us.
We welcome you, yes.
And we're also on the internet, so you can listen to us on the internet. It's WCNO.com, www.WCNO.com, and you can listen to this radio broadcast again, and you can listen to others on there. Just go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard.
Hallelujah.
And you can listen to this program again, or you want to order a CD, we have offered that as well. And also, the calendar is ready. If somebody would like to have the calendar for May, or it's the month of IR, is that how you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm.
And Sivan. It's interesting, last month and this month, both calendars run together. The Jewish calendar
matches the Gregorian calendar
in May. Yep. Right, so the first day of May is also the first day of IR. But it kind of comes to an end when you get down to 29, because we have 31 days in May, and the Jewish calendar has 29 days.
That's right.
This month. So then we're going to have 2 days of next month for the Jewish calendar on the month of May. So it's kind of runs all together. But they're talking about the new moon. That was the very first of any Jewish month. The first day is a new moon.
It's a new moon. Always
a
new moon.
Always looking for a new moon.
That's how they determine their months. That's right. It's incredible.
Excuse me. I'm still getting over some clearing my throat up here. But much better. I feel much better. Thank you for all praying for me. And we're also looking forward to having Gary Brooks with us. Prophet
Hallelujah.
Gary Brooks will be with us.
For about the 15th time. I've lost track.
In June. Yeah. So mark your calendar. And like I said, if you'd like a copy of this calendar, just give us a call. We'd be glad to mail it to you. It also has all the Jewish calendar on it as well. So you can learn your Jewish calendar. It's both one, all in one. And also we have some teaching at the bottom with some Hebrew letters. All the Hebrew alphabet and their value and also the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So of the different ones. You know, each Hebrew letter is also a number. So Aleph, of course, would be one, wouldn't
number
it?
Number one, you're right.
So they go with their alphabet.
So you can study that.
There, so you can study that and begin to learn some of the Hebrew letters and some of the things that they mean.
Might mention some of these things over here you put in too.
Right, right.
The way it was done originally years and years and years ago, yeah.
Right. Well, like the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, it's Tav. Tav would be spelled T-A-V, Tav. And interesting, even in the way before the cross, way before Jesus came, and way before when this language was created, when, you know, I don't know how far back it goes, but the Tav is represented by a cross.
By a cross.
You know, we know that Yeshua is the Alpha and the Omega. The Aleph and the Tav. The Aleph would be the Hebrew, and the Tav would be the Hebrew. So he's the beginning and he's the end.
Hallelujah.
And so, you know, he's number one. Aleph stands for God, number one. The first thing, we worship only one God. Amen. And that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Godhead.
That's
so
right.
The Tav is represented by a cross. Well, we know he finished it on the cross, didn't he?
He sure did.
It's interesting. You know, he's everything, and he's everything in between.
That's right.
So it's a good thing to know. And so if you'd like that, you can just give us a call. I'll give you a phone number in a minute. And also, we're still counting the Omer and counting up to those 50 days. Well, you know, here we are now. Today would be...
today's the 10th on our calendar.
The 10th, so it would be the count of the Omer day. It would be 25.
That's right.
The 25th day. And, you know, Jesus spent those 40 days spending time teaching the disciples and those that would walk along with him. After the resurrection, he taught them things about the kingdom.
That's what it says in Acts 1, doesn't it?
That's what we need to know.
That's right.
Things about the kingdom. See, they were able to receive it better after the resurrection. They handled him. They touched him. They saw him walk through walls. I mean, they saw all
they
these
saw
things,
all this,
and he spent time with him.
Amen.
Isn't that so awesome of God to allow his son to come back? You know, he to come back down. He went to heaven. Remember he said in the garden, don't touch me, I have to go to the Father.
That's right.
So he went, he made a quick trip to the Father.
That's right.
And then he came back and spent these 40 days of counting the Omer And before they saw him leave.
So in the 40s, they have counting Omer's when he went back to be with his father, right?
That's when he went back for
right.
for sure.
That's right.
But he's coming again in the sky.
Hallelujah.
And he's coming not to put his feet on the ground. He will put his feet on the ground, but not the first time. The first time we see him again will
be in
the
air.
Sky,
that's
in the
right.
air.
That's right.
And he won't be putting his feet on the ground. He's gonna
call us all
us
home.
Oh,
so mom, baby. Yeah. Yes,
amen. So this is the time of counting the Omer, is a time of purification. Seeking more of the Lord, you know, getting closer to the Lord, getting closer to that day when He will call us home for good. Amen.
Amen.
And then, of course, then we know that the great tribulation will start, and Jacob's trouble. It's Jacob's trouble. It's not the church's
That's
trouble.
That's right. It's Israel's
and
trouble.
Jesus is coming back for those in the sky who are looking for Him. And, of course, I don't think all people are looking for Him that say they are Christian.
Yeah.
So we really need to be watching and looking for
and
the
praying.
Lord. And praying.
That's what it says.
So if you'd like this calendar, just give us a call. And also it's on here, just mark your calendar. If you don't want it, just mark your calendar for Prophet Gary Brooks. He's an awesome prophet. He'll be with us on a Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. That's June 6th and 7th. And then he'll also be with us Sunday morning at 10 a.m. That's going to be on the 8th.
That's right.
So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
That's right. So Gary's going to be really close to Pentecost this year, isn't he? It's going to be pretty close. A few days have passed, but it's going to be close. And it's interesting to see all this and how God uses people at particular times of the year and all that. It's incredible. Anyway, it's a wonderful time. So come and enjoy Gary. He's been with us, I don't know, I've lost track. I don't know, it's 15 or 16 times, I don't know. But we have him twice a year, and he's an incredible man of God. Just down to earth, and just tells you the truth. He prophesies and all that over people, but that's not his purpose. He wants to bring us into the presence of the Lord. And he's incredible.
We always
how
say,
God uses
are you
him.
Hungry and thirsty for more
that's
of
right.
God? You know, God wants to give us more, more, more.
More, more, more.
Just, that's right. And he wants us just to draw closer and closer to him. And, you know, we draw closer to him, then the things of this world won't seem as important
just
as people.
Just kind of pale away,
see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. We'll be thinking about the things of the kingdom. Eternal things.
That's
you know,
right.
Eternal things. Something that will last forever, forever,
right.
for eternity. You know, our life is going to be here just for a short time. But
like a vapor.
That's right.
That's what James said, like a vapor. Psh, just goes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Like a flower you know, that wilts away. So, you know, as we get older and older. But, you know, we have a promise of the resurrection and a promise to be with the Lord forever and live with Him forever. It's just, praise God, how can we comprehend it?
Right.
But I want to also say hello to Roscoe and Audrey, and their apostle and prophet is on the Temple of God Church on Andros Island.
We say hello to them.
And we just want to bless them and say hello to them. And Pastor Gene has done a new CD series, and it's on the King James Version Stands Alone.
Alone, yes.
So it's a teaching for $10, plus maybe $1 or $2 for shipping, a couple dollars for shipping. So if you like that, it's, what is it, two CDs.
Two CDs.
And it's his testimony and also about the King James Bible Stands Alone.
So what I did with this, the Lord spoke to me while I was getting ready to do it. He said to break it up into three sections. So the first part of it is about how these Bibles got corrupted with this corrupted and perverted Greek text that was used way back in the 1881 in that area. So I talk about that and the things that's happened. And in the middle, the second part of it, I gave my testimony because I used to be in the New King James and I was in it for a long time. And the church that we wound up going to after I got saved on the road one day, the church we went to, our pastor only used the King James Bible, and he would not allow us to teach anything, children, adults, anything, unless it was done in the King James Version Bible. And as I share on the testimony with it, the year I got saved in 1982, the entire Bible came out in the New King James. Now, the New Testament was done by itself in 79, but the entire Bible was translated in 1982. And when I got a hold of that, I kind of got deceived, and the devil tricked me like he does a lot of people. And so I was reading that at home. Excuse me, my throat. And then when I had to teach in children's church or whatever, I had to use the King James Version of the Bible. I could never put those two things together. So I give you my testimony on this. And I mean how the horrendous time I went through to get out of that Bible and get back to the King James. And in the third part, I gave a whole lot of examples for everyone just to see the perversion. And the Bible that I used, I picked on the New King James because that's the one that I was in the most. But the others have followed the same pattern. You know, the NIV, the New American Standard, all those have the same perverted Greek text, okay? And so that's what I did. So if you'd like a copy of that, we're getting them ready. I'll be glad to mail that out for a love offering, as Donna said, of $10. And maybe $2 shipping. $2 will probably cover the shipping on it. So anyway, you can avail yourselves of that, because, see, we need the Word of God. And, you know, I think about this today, Pastor Doc. The world, especially in America, the America, especially other parts of the world too, especially in America, you see areas everywhere on the news and all, how they just despise the Bible, the Word of God. They don't want to obey His Word. And that's why we're in such desperate need right now. Our country is declining because we've drifted away from the foundation that God gave us years and years ago. And this is the foundation that we need, is the Word of God. If we abide by these things, we're going to be blessed. We'll be the head, not the tail. We'll be blessed in the country. We'll be blessed in the city. Go read Deuteronomy. You'll hear about all the blessings over there. But if we don't, you can see what happened to Israel. There's tons and tons, if you read, I mean, it's a lot of examples in Deuteronomy. If they did not obey, the curses that were going to come, just one right after another. But we want to be blessed of God. So if we obey His Word, and hopefully you'll be in the right translation to get the full truth of it, you'll be all set to do a work for the Lord, and you'll have the truth in your hands, in your heart. Jesus said what? Yeshua said, the truth will make you free. That's what we need. Hallelujah. I just thought about one thing here, Pastor. Now, we're going to talk about Pentecost here a little bit, but I went over to, I was in Exodus chapter 19, and I just saw one verse, or two verses that caught my eye, showing the Bible translations. Verse 16 in Exodus 19 says this, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet." Now, it doesn't say the sound of a trumpet. These other Bibles talk about a sound. This says the voice. The trumpet, God's voice is like a trumpet. It tells you that in the book of Revelation, okay, of a trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And then what caught my eye then was verse 19. Listen to this. "And when the voice of the trumpet," not a sound, it says the voice of the trumpet, "sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake," listen to this, "and God answered him," how? "By a voice," His voice. Isn't that incredible? So I just saw that as we're getting ready to talk about this. So we're going to talk about Pentecost a little bit more. Now, last week we took you over to Leviticus, and I'm going to go back there. I think we need to do this real quick. Let's see. Let's do it this other way. I'm going to do it another way. Let's go to the book of Acts. We're going to talk about, I've got Acts on my mind, because that's where we're going to wind up. Well, let's go back to the book of Acts. That's where I was just reading. And let's look at something here. We know that the Israelites left Egypt on the 15th. We talked about that last week. And they left and got out to the Red Sea, and they looked back and saw that the Egyptians were following them. And so God put a fire by day, or by night, and a cloud by day and all that to protect them and keep them separated from the Egyptians. And when they got there that afternoon, it was Nisan 16. At evening, at sunset, because the Jewish calendar goes from what, sunset to sunset, it became Nisan 17. And we showed you last week, it tells you the exact time that they came up out of the Red Sea. And the morning watch is when they came up on the other side as they crossed through the Red Sea. The exact day in the future we shared last week that Yeshua in the future would raise from the grave. And so then they begin to travel from that point. It brings us out to what? To Exodus 19, where I was just at a little moment ago. Excuse me, my throat. I got a little bug here this morning. So I want to go to chapter 19 with you. And if you can study it out through the scripture, you look at it real close, you can figure out it took them 47 days from the time that they left Egypt to get to the foot of Mount Sinai. Okay, now look, we're going to go to 19 now in Exodus. Listen to this. It says, in the third month. Well, what's the third month on the Jewish calendar? It's the month of Sivan. The third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. This means the third day, I'm sure I should say, the third month on the third day. So this is what? This would be 47 days from the time that they left Egypt. So you can read all this, but I'm not going to read all this for time's sake. But I like verse 9 down here. I'm going to read 5 with it. "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me," what? "A kingdom of priests." That's, if you're born again, we're priests and kings today, hallelujah, because of Yeshua, "and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." God told Moses that up on the mountain. All right? Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, but let's go to verse 10 now. "And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. Boy. And be ready against what? The third day. Well, what will the third day be now? It'll be the 50th day from the time they left Egypt. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Guess what? One day in the future, on the third day from the time that Yeshua died and went back to be with his Father, the Lord's going to come down, and what? He's going to catch all the believers away that are in Jesus Christ, and all the dead in Christ will all be resurrected at that time. He won't put his foot on the Mount of Olives at that time, but he's going to come back in the sky. So here's a pattern right here. Now I'm going to go down here to verse 14. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified them. And he set them apart. And they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. They weren't to have any relationships with their wives. Now, verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day, this is what, the 50th day from the time they left Egypt, in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeded loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. So this is the 50th day again. Now, we just read over here, hallelujah, about this, you know, I was in chapter 19 at the beginning, we talked about, where the Bible talks about the trumpet of God over there also, amen? So, the trumpet is important. So the trumpet is what? God's voice. It tells you that several places in the Bible. Now, I'm going to read 19 again. We mentioned it a little bit ago. Let's read it again. And when the voice of the trumpet, not the sound, but the voice of the trumpet, sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him how? By a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Incredible, right?
So it was his voice. It was the Lord's voice.
The Lord's voice that was speaking.
He spoke. The voice of the trumpet.
You know, we hear this all the time about the death angel going through the camp and over in Egypt. Well, it doesn't mention one thing about a death angel. It was God himself that went through. It was God's Passover. Aren't we glad? Now, with all this thought we just talked about here.
God uses trumpets all through the Bible.
That's right. So here this, God wants them to remember this third month,
Sivan,
and the 50th day. Now we go over to Leviticus and we talk about
and
here.
And it's always on Sivan 6, I believe, isn't
that's
it?
That's right. It's always on Sivan 6.
God always makes sure it's
that's
always
right.
On Sivan
right.
6.
So in chapter 19, verse 1, we looked at this was Sivan, what? 3. And then what? They set themselves aside for what? 3 days more. And what happened? The Lord came down on Mount Sinai and spoke to them verbally. They heard him speak. Now we go over to Leviticus chapter 23. God wants them to remember.
So we've got to remember too the same date, because
that's right.
The same date
mm-hmm.
God spoke also in the New Testament.
That's right. So I'll give you a little history here with the Jewish people. They believed with all their heart that when God spoke from Mount Sinai, that he spoke in all, they believe there were 70 nations in place at that time, that he spoke in all their vernacular language and gave them an opportunity to accept what God was going to do with Israel as well. So his voice reverberated through all the world at that time. And there's only one group of people that said that I will do it. This is in Exodus 19, verse 8 says, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord, and so on. Amen? So, but he gave them all an opportunity, but only the Jews said what? I will, I do. So those are 70 nations. We're going to see when we get to Acts chapter 2, what happened over there. All right. But here's the interesting thing. Proving this also, during the Feast of Tabernacles, during Yeshua's life, and even way before that, the Jews did something very special during Tabernacles. During those 7 days plus the 8th day, which is the High Sabbath and all that, they sacrificed 70 bulls, not lambs, but they were bulls. And each one of those represented what? One of those nations that God spoke from Mount Sinai that didn't accept what he asked them to do. Amen? Isn't that incredible? So this is a very important day, and we know it's also a harvest festival as well. So with that in mind, I'm going to take you over to Leviticus chapter 23, and this is when God began to put all these appointed times in place. They were his. And he was reminding them what he did over in Exodus chapter 19. Now, I don't know how much time went by here, but it might have been a good while. We don't know. But anyway, chapter 23 gives us all the information about these appointed times. Now, we see the first three of these, which we have what? We have Passover is mentioned here, unleavened bread, first fruits, okay? So you got those three things, Passover, first fruits, and unleavened bread. And then we know Pentecost came out 50 days later. So these first 14 verses in Leviticus 23 refers to what? The season in the spring, which is the barley harvest. But now we go to chapter 23, verse 15. And now he's going to talk about something else. Now listen to this. Verse 15 says, "And you shall count unto from the morrow after the Sabbath." This is the weekly Sabbath. What would that be? "From the day that you brought the sheaf and the wave offering, seven Sabbaths." So 7 times 7 is 49 days shall be complete. "Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering." That meat means a meal offering unto the Lord. So he's going to describe this for us. Let us know what it's all about. Amen. So I think about all this. It's incredible about these offerings that God wants to be done back in those days, and he required the Jewish people to do it and to honor all these appointed times. So it's incredible when we look at all this. So here we are. Verse 15 is really clear here, because it tells you that I'm going to read this again. "And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath." This is the weekly Sabbath. "From the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. And even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall be" what? "You shall number 50 days." Incredible. That's something. So we know that our Lord Savior, he died, and we know he rose from the grave, what? On the first day of the week. This makes it kind of clear right here. Amen. So now let's think about this. Now we've read all that. Let's go down to verse 17 now. He's going to tell you what they must do with their offerings and all this during this time. Verse 17 says, "You shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves." Now here we go. Now we got two complete whole loaves of bread made out of barley, okay? Or not barley, this is out of the early wheat, I should say. This is the two wave loaves of the wheat, of the early wheat harvest that comes in the middle of the year when it grows, okay? Hallelujah. Now look at this. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited about this. Two wave loaves of 2/10 deals. We talked about that last week. "They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with" what? "Leaven." Most everything else that God had them do had to be what? Unleavened bread, which was a picture of what? Unleavened bread is a picture of what? Corruption, or also what? Sin. They're the first fruits unto the Lord.
Unleavened is no sin.
No sin.
No sin. You said it backwards.
Did I?
Unleavened, sorry. Means, that's why we use the matzah for communion.
That's
it represents,
right.
Jesus had no sin.
That's right.
So unleavened is no sin. But
no sin.
But leaven, there was leaven put into these two loaves.
Right.
And so they were the two loaves that they weighed together. So it was two loaves.
That's right. Not one.
Not one.
So what do those two loaves represent?
Well, I think it represents, you know, of course, we need to take this all into the New Testament.
Right.
It represents the Jew and the Gentile,
sure,
coming together. Pentecost, Sivan 6.
And there's sin in the camp.
This is Sivan 6.
That's right.
Well, becomes the one new man. The one,
amen,
new man. And it's a picture of the outpouring of Pentecost.
Got it.
But the outpouring of the Spirit of God. You know, God, mm-hmm, wants to fill us. Just as he takes this bread, and of course this bread, it's braided. We have it every Friday at Shabbat. We have Shabbat every Friday night. We didn't mention our services, but we do have Friday night. We have Shabbat, and we have the challah bread, and it has
leaven in it,
and it's braided. Well, when Sivan 7 comes, or Sivan 6 comes, it's going to be in June, we will have two loaves.
That's right.
And we wave them, hold them, and we wave them. It's an offering unto the Lord, that the coming together of the Jew
and
Gentile, one in Yeshua,
one
in the Lord, one new man,
mm-hmm,
that we would grow. And also, to me, it's a picture, you know, see, God, when Jesus took, he paid the sin, a penalty of all the sin. So now he wants us to grow into that one new man,
amen,
and be filled with the Spirit. So when the outpouring of the Holy Ghost came, they were filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak with tongues. And so we can learn to, but because we have the Spirit of God within us, the law of God is written in our hearts. We know because we have the Spirit of God within us. That's why the Bible talks about being led by the Spirit. So, and listening to the Lord, listening to the Holy Ghost. King James says, Holy Ghost, would say to us, because we all have the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
That's
we have
right.
the Godhead within us. So we need to come to that fullness of that measure, see, of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we do that? We receive him, but then there's a time of growing. There's a time of growing, and there's a time of changing, and there's just that transformation to become that full loaf, I would say, you know, and not to eliminate the Jewish people. No, we are grafted in to the Word of God, to what it says, you know, what you're reading here in the Old Testament. We become part of what God's plan is for the earth, And so we don't say, okay, now we're Christians and the Jews are have nothing to do with God. No, we can't do that because we are grafted in. And we're even warned that, you know, can if they were taken out, could we not be taken out? So we have to allow the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, which is that picture of what happened on Sivan 6, that pouring, outpouring of the Holy Ghost when they were baptized with the fire and the Holy Ghost. You know, the fire and the Holy Ghost, it's the fire that's gonna purge us, it's gonna bake us, you know, get rid of the stuff, clean us out. Because God wants to change us, right, Pastor Gene?
Amen.
He wants us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And the only way we can do that is by listening to the Holy Ghost. So it's important that we pray for the Jewish people. And so we're one. We're the Jew and the Gentile are one in Messiah. You know, all those people were Jewish back then. All those disciples were Jewish. And then, you know, then the Gentiles started coming in. You know, Paul started going to the Gentiles, and he was a Jew, right? He was a Jew. He knew the law. He knew the law, but he knew it wasn't because of the law that changed him. He was changed because he had a visitation
from the Lord
himself.
So,
you know, he repented, and God forgave him of all the sin he did. You know, he was killing those that were coming to Messiah. He was killing his own people. He was killing Jewish people because they turned away from the Moses' law. I mean, they didn't leave the law, but they found a new way. They found Yeshua. Yeshua was Jewish. Hallelujah. So it's the fullness of the Gentile and the Jew come together as one new man. So it's important that we pray for the Jewish people and even remember the Sabbath day, because God made the Sabbath day for us, right?
Amen.
So we come together on Friday and we have communion and we seek God's face and we pray and we just thank the Lord for the rest that He's given us. He gave the Sabbath to man, and He even told Moses way back here where you're reading to remember the Sabbath. So Sabbath was set up way before the law ever came into
That's
existence.
Right. He told him to remember it, didn't he?
That's right. And so we spend that time seeking God, and we pray for the Jewish people all the time. And we have a lot of Jewish things in our church because you all have been listening to us very long. You know that we teach a lot of the Jewish roots and what all these feasts have to do with now. They're not just history or something for the Jewish people. But no, we need to take all the spiritual applications from what God has taught us, and we need to apply it to our life.
Amen.
Amen.
Like,
and then we also have Saturday, and we also have church on Sunday.
That's right.
So, you know,
we honor both.
We don't just do Friday or Saturday.
We do both.
Know, Jesus rose on Sunday, didn't he? The
That's
first
right.
day of the week. And the Bible says to, you know, every day is the Lord's day.
Amen.
So we can worship God any day, but the Sabbath is a day that we shouldn't forget it, because it's important to us, because God has given it to us. It's like a gift.
That's right. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. That's right. Now I want to read something out of this commentary we talk about all the time that I wrote. It's not a commentary, it's a book about the God's prophetic calendar and picture of the Messiah, about the parallels between what we read in Mount Sinai. Let's compare it with what happened in Acts chapter 2. But I want you to go read that first.
Acts chapter 2.
Chapter 2.
That's one of my favorite
That's right.
my favorite
right.
books,
I
my favorite
read,
chapters.
I want you to read Acts chapter, the first two or three verses there, and then
That's
I'm going
right.
to read
and
this.
And you know, these things haven't changed, have
That's
they?
Right.
Chapter 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's Sivan 6, and that's going to be in a few days, amen?
Yeah.
They were all with one accord in one place.
Like they were at Mount Sinai, same
shouldn't
way.
Shouldn't the church be like
that's
this,
right.
all in one accord? You know,
yeah.
the outpouring of the Holy Ghost isn't just for a few, or just certain people, or just
for
what
everybody.
You would call Pentecostal,
Every
which
believer.
Should all be Pentecost,
Hallelujah.
Right?
Show some number.
And
day.
Suddenly, there came a sound. Here's this trumpet sound. The sound from heaven.
That's right. The voice of God.
A sound from heaven. The voice of God. As of a rushing mighty wind. So, you know, this Holy Spirit comes, you could be a trumpet. It could be a wind. It could be a water. There's a lot of things that refer to the Spirit of God. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. So they were sitting, they were waiting. They knew Pentecost was coming. They knew Pentecost was on Sivan 6. When did they know this? They knew this from what you were reading before, back in Exodus and
That's
Leviticus.
Right. Amen.
They knew the history. They knew what
sure
happened on Mount
That's
Sinai.
Right.
They knew.
And they know today over there.
About
yeah.
about God giving Moses the you know, visiting him and calling him up to the top
gave
of the mountain.
Gave him all the Torah.
They knew all that. And
yeah.
so they knew that there was a special. They knew about Pentecost. They knew about the waving of the of the offering, but they didn't have the revelation that was the Jew and the Gentile.
That's right.
Because the Gentiles were considered dogs. Mm-hmm. You know, remember even when the woman wanted the crumbs from under the table?
Yeah.
And she says, even the dogs get the crumbs.
That's right.
And that's what they related Gentiles to, as dogs.
Really, but impressed the Lord, didn't it? When she said that, really impressed
that's
him.
Right. And it says in verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. Cloven
Whoa.
Tongues as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. This was the Holy Ghost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This is why we need to be reading the King James Bible. The Holy Ghost is not mentioned in, I don't believe, any of the other Bibles.
It's not.
Says Spirit.
Nope.
Well, you got to know the difference between the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost came.
We host
and he filled,
him, Belle.
And we host him, right?
We host
it
God.
It means we host God. Ghost means G, host. Host God. You know, even the Jewish people, they write God G-D. They don't put the O in there. So here we have G, host. God's host. We are hosts, God's host. Amen. In these earthen vessels.
Read through verse 4, honey.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as, now it says Spirit, as the Spirit.
God's, this is God's He's the Spirit, giver.
Gave them utterance.
That's right.
It's incredible. You see the difference there?
Mm-hmm.
And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. So here are all these people. Why were they there? Because they knew
it all was, the men had to be there.
See, Vaughn 6. They
That's
knew
right.
it was Pentecost.
The Harvest Festival.
It was
yeah.
the festival mm-hmm. of the waving of the loaves.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Do you want me to go further?
That's good. Now, I just want to give you some parallels. This is out of the book I wrote. And just listen. I'm just going to read it the way I wrote it. It is no accident that God chose this festival, what? Pentecost, connected with the giving of the Torah to send the Holy Ghost to empower each believer. Where was that? Donna just read it in Acts chapter 2. Just as the Torah teaches God's truth, and listen to this, so the Holy Ghost teaches what? God's truth. We can read that in John 14:26 if you're taking notes, 15:26, and also 16:13, okay? Now listen to this. We must understand that Yeshua's Torah, or His Word, is not different from or an improvement over God's Torah and the Hebrew Scriptures. Now listen to this. The Apostle Paul called it what? Holy, just, and good in Romans 7:12. What is different is the receptiveness of those for whom the Torah is meant, due to having a new spirit and a heart of the flesh, as it says in Ezekiel 36:26, on which the Torah is what? Written. And it's also in Jeremiah 30, chapter 31, verses 32 and 33. In other words, a heart receptive to the Holy Ghost, as it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14. Therefore, the Holy Ghost in a believer's life makes the Torah even more real to them. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 3:6 through 18. And the giving of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost only heightens the significance of the giving of the Torah on Pentecost or Shavuot. The Torah of Yeshua has a higher standard than Moses' Torah because of the circumcision of the heart. It shines its light on what? The motive of the heart. Now listen to this. We're going to make the parallels now. At both Mount Sinai and Pentecost. Remember, God waited 1,500 years, didn't he, Pastor Don? From the time he spoke on Mount Sinai to the day we just read there in Acts chapter 2. It was being fulfilled on Sivan 6. At both Mount Sinai and at Pentecost, the Torah was delivered to God's people. At Sinai, the Ten Commandments were written on what? Tablets of stone by the finger of God. That's in Exodus 31:18. While at Pentecost, the Torah was written on what? The tablets of the heart. It tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 18. In fulfillment of the prophecies we just mentioned of Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36. Far from replacing, canceling, or contradicting the Torah of Moses, the Holy Ghost confirms it for the believers in Yeshua. This is revealed in Romans 3:31. Now listen, both events took place
at
Pentecost or Shavuot. Both were accompanied by theophanies. You know what a theophany is? It's any direct visual manifestation of the presence of God. So they were both accompanied by theophanies. All right. Both were accompanied by what? Many languages or voices or tongues. Both were accompanied by fire. The fire at Sinai was one fire visible by all. The fire at Jerusalem divided itself and rested on each one individually. Thus at Sinai, the Torah was given externally to the people as a whole, while at Jerusalem, the Torah was put within each individual believer. at Sinai, a mixed multitude even, in Exodus 12:38, accompanied the people, just as the people from many countries were present at Pentecost. So the Torah means teaching, and the Holy Ghost is the teacher. It is customary in Jewish celebration of Shavuot to eat milk foods. Nothing but milk foods. Why? The Holy Ghost provides the milk of the Word. Aren't you glad of what it says in 1 Peter 2 and Hebrews 5? So here we have the parallel with all this, okay? So there was a fire at Mount Sinai on the mountain. Well, at Pentecost, what Donna just read, the fire rested on all the people. The power of God was right there, amen? And it confirmed what he was going to show them when everything was going to happen. So the people in Acts chapter 2, Donna read, there were theophanies there that showed the visual manifestation and the power and the presence of God at that particular time. So it's incredible. It was fulfilled right there. And it was important for us to understand. God wants every believer to have it, doesn't he, Pastor Don? And so here we see the whole pattern of it, and God didn't change it at all. He just did it another way. He was showing us. And the key thing, we mentioned this last week, God didn't, he literally spoke on Mount Sinai, didn't he? And we read over in Exodus, that the people were so afraid that they didn't want to hear it from God again. They didn't want to hear it anymore.
That's right.
They were afraid.
They didn't want to.
So what happened then? The Spirit of God only came upon kings, priests, and prophets in those days, and all the individuals didn't have the presence of God within them. But what did he do in Acts chapter 2? He empowered them by the presence. I got a commentary I kept by a Spirit-filled believer. It's called God's Empowering Presence. What is it? The Holy Ghost. And so what did he do? He empowered all those people. They had the fire on them. And it said what? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as what? The Spirit gave them what? Utterance. And so what happened? Then we read those. There's not 70 nations there like they had in Mount Sinai, but there was a lot of them there. And they all came from all parts of the world. So he gave all of us believers that would come to Christ what? The privilege at that particular time, Acts chapter 2, and it's never changed, that we can speak on God's behalf.
You know, when they heard God, the trumpet of God and God's voice over at Mount Sinai, they were afraid.
They sure were.
Well, what happened? The lightnings and thunderings and, mm-hmm. and the mountains and shakings.
That's
you know,
right.
They were afraid. But here, the Holy Ghost, you know, Jesus taught them about the things of the kingdom. It tells us that in Acts chapter 1, you know, how he was speaking about the things of the
That's
kingdom
right. mm-hmm.
pertaining to the kingdom of God. And, you know, and so, but when the Holy Ghost came, he told them, taught mm-hmm. them about the Holy Ghost. You know, he didn't come the same way as he did at Mount Sinai. I mean, he came with, the, you know, the fire and the tongues. But, you know, it says that the Holy Ghost is our comforter.
That's right.
He's our teacher. He leads us into all truths. You know, it's and God, Jesus said he had to go back to the Father so that the Father and him would send the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
You know, Jesus had the Holy Ghost right
Hallelujah.
There when he was talking to them during those 40 days. He had the Holy Ghost because he says he spoke by the Holy Ghost. So he spoke them and he taught by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And you know, and he told them to wait. You know,
That's
they
right.
were right. This is just before he went back home, he went back to heaven. This was the 40th day.
Hallelujah.
And he was at that Mount of Olivet, right? And so he told them to go back to Jerusalem and wait, because we're waiting. You wait for those days to come to pass because you have 10 more days.
That's
you
it.
Have 10 more days till this feast comes and then something's going to happen. Well, they knew something was going to happen. They knew that the power, what happened back at Mount Sinai. So they knew something was going to anticipated something was going to happen. And Jesus had already talked to them about the Holy Ghost even before he left.
That's right.
He said, unto this day in which he was taken up after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. That's in Acts chapter 1, verse 2. So he taught them by the things of the Holy Ghost during those 40 days, talking about the things of the kingdom.
That's right.
And he told them to wait for the promise. You know,
mm-hmm.
he says here, Jesus' words himself, he says, wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So he's telling you in a few days, you're going to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then he goes on and says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's a power gift.
That's right.
It's a power gift. And so, you know, they received it. And men and women, you know, they were all there in one accord.
Mm-hmm.
They received it. So it was a different, what's the word I can think of? It was a different way that God spoke to them through the Holy Ghost than what happened with Moses.
Well, yeah, well, they actually heard God speak from the mountain. It reverberated, okay. But in that day, that didn't happen. He spoke to each one individually, didn't he?
Each one individually. And each one individually received the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And they all spoke in tongues.
That's right. You know, and
another language. And they were all speaking tongues together at the same time. And some people say, well, you shouldn't do that. Well, you know, what is tongues? We're not going to have time to teach about that. But, you know, it's in the Bible. It's in the King James Bible. Let's don't take it out. Let's don't remove it.
It brings unity is what it brings, Donna.
It brings unity.
Not division. It brings unity.
And that's what they talk
praising
about.
Praising God.
Being in one accord.
Right.
Being in one accord. Praying in the Holy Ghost.
That's
see,
right.
Now, what if we all came together and we all prayed in the Holy Ghost? We'd be in one accord, wouldn't we?
That's right.
Well, we may not all understand what we're all saying, but, you know, God knows.
That's right.
Because God gave the language. God Amen. Gave the language, and God knows. And we pray in the perfect prayer.
All the time.
Prayer to the Father, to God, to the Lord, and He knows what we're saying. So it gives us, it builds us up.
Our holy faith.
Our holy faith.
So what's this all about? It commemorates what God did at Mount Sinai. And so, you know, we talk about Acts chapter 2, but sometimes we forget about where it originated, you know, because it was a pattern. But I want to share a couple
but
more things.
But not to be afraid of.
Yeah.
Some people are afraid. They say, well, you know, they're afraid of it. But what is there to be afraid
Nothing
of?
Nothing to be afraid. Let me conclude what I'm going to say here. Then Pastor Don's got some more. We got about almost 13 minutes left here. I want to read some more of this book. Because Pentecost commemorates the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, it's sometimes thought of as what? The day in which Judaism was born. Could well, because that's when God gave them the Torah. Likewise, because God gave the Holy Ghost to His people on the same day, 1,500 years in the future, is regarded also as the birthday of the body of Christ. At the fulfillment of that in Acts chapter 2. Now listen to this. Donald just read this. In Acts chapter 2, there was a sound of the mighty rushing wind, and there appeared to them what? All cloven tongues like as a fire. At this moment in time, God emphasized, now listen to this, the connection between the Torah and the Holy Ghost by giving both with similar miraculous signs. Miraculous signs. The mighty wind with its sound and the fire in Jerusalem recall the fire, smoke, and the sounds that happened at Mount Sinai. However, at Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, instead of God's people being kept away, you read Exodus 19:21 through 23, they stayed away. God's glory represented by the tongues of fire came to each individual, so he came to them. Amen. Now, last thing, Acts 2:4 that Donna read, says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. However, in the Old Testament, only certain individuals, we talked about that, kings, priests, and prophets, had the Holy Ghost. But they didn't really have
upon them.
Yeah, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They had the Spirit came upon them. But on the day of Pentecost, God fills what them all, bringing to pass what Moses had prayed for long ago, which is that God would put His Spirit upon all His people in Numbers 11:29. Thus fulfilling Yeshua's promise to His believers to tarry in Jerusalem until you be what? Endued with power from on high. And this is in what? Luke chapter 24:49. It's
and
all
you
there.
Know, it says what? It says
so we're
that
commemorating
they were,
that day.
They were speaking what? The wonderful works
of
God.
And that's what it is. Brings unity.
And the people were all amazed. Mm-hmm. And you know, and some of them even they mocked. They mocked him.
They
mocked him. Say, are these men full of wine? You know, of course. Then Peter went and said, hey, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, they're not full of wine. It's new wine. It's the Holy Ghost.
It's the day of the prayer.
But you know,
day of prayer, hour
still,
prayer.
People still mock people who pray
right.
in tongues, don't
they? They sure do.
And you know, do we come against? It says, not quench not the Spirit of God. Doesn't the Bible say that?
That's right.
Don't quench the Spirit of God. Well, if you're mocking tongues. And you're quenching the Holy Ghost.
You sure are.
And so that's a dangerous place to be, you know, be in. And we're warned not to, and we're warned to covet after prophecy. You know, it's part of, you know, when you hear the Lord and you hear from the word of the Lord and you hear maybe a tongue and you know a word is coming forth. And many times it's prophecy, and we're supposed to covet to prophesy, aren't
that's
we?
That's right.
And it even says in the last days that. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Flesh.
What is that? The Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. You see what it says? I will pour out of my spirit.
That's right.
Okay. And on your maidens, servants and on your handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. Again, it says, and they shall prophesy. So it's a portion of His Spirit is what the Holy Ghost is. And so it's given to all who ask. It's a gift.
That's right.
It's a free gift. And it's a free gift that we should all want to receive. This gift from the Lord. It's a gift. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Well, then, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost.
So then who stopped all this? Who stopped all this? Man did. Yeah. No? And it tells you in 1 Corinthians 13 that there's going to be, that prophecy is going to cease. Tongues will cease. They shall be, knowledge will vanish away. Well, they keep the knowledge part. But what happened to the prophecies and the tongues? It says, when the perfect has come, which is when Yeshua comes to this earth, we won't need all that anymore, will we, Pastor Donna?
No.
So we got to keep all this in the right perspective. So
but
God's desire.
We need the Holy Ghost.
God's desire is that every single believer that's come to Yeshua and born again, his purpose, what he wants them to be able to walk in the Spirit, to pray in their heavenly language, and to accomplish even more. Instead, we want to quench that, and we want to stop it, mostly in the church today. And that should never happen. That's what we have. So it's a powerful thing. So
quench not the Spirit.
That's right. That's what it said. So we're coming up here in a few days. We're going to what? Commemorate the day that God spoke from Mount Sinai and what happened in Acts 2. Well, 1,500 years went by from Exodus 19 to Acts chapter 2. Well, then after that, what? The tongues and everything continue to go on. And then all of a sudden, the Gentiles begin to come into the kingdom of God and all that.
Mm.
And Constantine came and all the things that happened, you know, they pulled out all the Jewish things out of the Bible and all that. And so what happened? Over time, your word that you have, that we have here in our hand, this King James Bible, has been perverted in these other translations. So they're taking things out of context. God wants you to know, this is for us today. It's the empowering presence of what? Of God in your life. Look in the book of Acts. Every time someone came to the Lord, you see it over there, what happened? It says, right away, what happened? They were filled with the power of God and began to speak with other tongues. In one place, it says they even prophesied.
Well, here's an example right here. Oh, this is in Acts chapter 8. It says in verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, what they believed, right?
Mm-hmm.
They sent unto them Peter and John. So why do they send them there? Here's verse 15 tells us, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost.
And that's not being born again.
No, so they had already received, they had already repented, they had
that's
already
right.
believed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's
they
right.
had already received the Word.
That's right.
The Word, who is the Word? God, Jesus is the
Jesus.
Word.
Yeshua
so
is the
they
Word.
Received the gift of the Holy Spirit,
that's
the
right.
Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, these are the Samaritans, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, there's two baptisms.
That's right.
Then laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
But Simon, oh boy, Simon saw that through the laying on of hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given.
He saw
he
the power.
He offered them money.
That's right.
Why?
He wanted to buy it.
You can't buy a gift.
Nope.
A gift is free. The gift of the Holy Ghost is free to them
you,
who will ask. So he really got himself in big trouble. I hope he repented. I guess maybe he did. I don't know. But he saw the hands were laid on and the Holy Ghost was given. He offered money, saying, give me also this power. See, he saw the power. He wanted to buy the power. You can't buy the power of God. Hallelujah. Are we running out of time?
Glory we have about 5 minutes left.
Thank you, Father God. You cannot buy the power of God. It's a free gift. On that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. So he wanted to do that also, but you know, it's a free gift. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. In other words, you're going to perish because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. So God is looking for a right heart. He was looking for a right heart. And so he goes on and says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. See, we have the thoughts of our heart. We have the thoughts of our heart. So it's different than you might think about learning or your mind. You know, it's the thoughts of your heart, because you believe with your heart. In verse 23, it says, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. Well, bitterness will bring iniquity, won't it? And in the bond of iniquity. Wow. So we just really need to, we don't want to make fun of. If there's something you don't understand, about the Bible. You just need to pray. You need to pray and seek the Lord, because God will bring you into all truth, and repent. If you've made fun of people who have this gift of the Holy Ghost, that pray in tongues or that may or prophesy, you know, a lot of people are because they don't know, because they're destroyed for a lack of understanding
and knowledge.
They don't know. But that's why we need to be in the right Bible, because, you know, the other Bibles don't say Holy Ghost. This way we can ask the Holy Spirit. We can ask the Holy Ghost to show us, to give us discernment. And He will. And, you know, and pray. And God will speak to you. God will lead you. And He says He leads us into all truth.
You know, I was thinking about this. You know, on the day of Pentecost, when all those different languages came, and all the people from Galilee spoke in these other languages, and it says it was noised abroad. Can you imagine the sound of all those Jewish people in Jerusalem speaking in a language they didn't know out loud over the whole area?
That's right.
It was noised abroad. Well, we said
that's
people
right.
tell us you can't come to church and everybody can't stand up and pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit. Why can't we?
It
tells you right there what it was bringing glory to God. Mm-hmm. It brings unity. It brings unity. That's what it's all about.
It talks about praying in the Spirit,
that's
singing
right.
in the Spirit,
that's
praying
right.
in your understanding. Singing in the understanding. There's both. There's more than one way
right.
to worship God. So, well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're just blessed to be on this radio program every Saturday at 12 noon. You can also listen to us on WCNO.com. You can also go back and re-listen to this broadcast or other broadcasts. I think they have them for like 2 years back. And also want to mention, if you want a calendar for this month of May or IR, which is the Jewish calendar and the English calendar and Gregorian calendar, you can give us a call. We'll send it to you. And there's some teaching on here, some things about the Hebrew. And also talks about Prophet Gary Brooks and all whenever we have our meetings here. We come to meet with the Lord here in Stuart, Florida on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
It also has what, Pastor? It has the Gregorian calendar
yes.
also superimposed with the Jewish lunar calendar.
That's right.
So you can compare how
that's
it
right.
is. It's incredible.
And you can pray for us. We
that's
appreciate
right.
that.
That's
you pray
right.
for us. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to send an offering for this Raising the Standard ministry on the radio, we would much greatly appreciate it. So,
we might mention also the book I was talking about. It's available to anybody. It's for a love offering of $25 mm-hmm. and maybe about $3 for shipping. And I'll be glad to mail it out. All you got to do is send in a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413.
Let me get the phone number.
Okay. And that's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995.
Or you can call area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So we enjoy doing this program with you folks all week, your brothers and sisters, and maybe somebody's listening, Pastor Donna, that's never asked the Lord to come into their lives. And so this is a good time. Hallelujah. At Pentecost.
Amen. And get baptized with the Holy Ghost.
And get baptized with the Holy Ghost. So we're on this program every week because we love people. We want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ, and we tell you every week when we close
Amen.
To look up, because every day what our redemption draweth closer and closer. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath, peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.
We are raising the standard of truth.